The Love Life and Lose Weight podcast will teach you the art and science of changing your habits around food. I'm your host, Advanced Certified Weight and Life Coach, Heather Beardsley. I've helped hundreds of women just like you figure out how to stop dieting, lose weight, and love life on the journey to goal weight and beyond. Hey, welcome to episode 43. On creative visualization. This is one of these like meditation, one of these secret unsung heroes of reaching your goals. I'm sure that you've heard about Olympic athletes who use creative visualization to picture themselves in their mind's eye, doing their sport, competing in their sport, and winning. It's like, it's mental rehearsal is basically what it is. I don't know if y'all have seen, whether you love him or hate him, or maybe somewhere in between, the Netflix documentary on Arnold Schwarzenegger. It was, I really, really enjoyed it. Surprisingly, really enjoyed it. Arnold talks about how much he used creative visualization in his single-minded focus on becoming the best bodybuilder in the world. Maybe he was, I don't think he ever went to the Olympics, but he certainly was Mr. Universe many times and just had a wall full of trophies, best in the world for bodybuilding for many, many years, broke all kinds of records. He talks about being a kid in Austria. He saw magazines with photos of bodybuilders and he sort of latched onto that and he pictured himself like doing the weightlifting and living the lifestyle. He would just let his brain go off and really focus on what that would be like. So the creative visualization is a form of mental rehearsal where your mind goes into exploring what it would be like to be in your body, doing the things that you expect to do in the pursuit of the thing that you want. Does that make sense? My oldest son is so amazing at this. When he used to spend hours in our pool and he would be off in his, I'd say, what are you doing? Who are you talking to over there? He's like, Mom, I'm in my imagination. He would have whole conversations and like, just let his brain go off and creatively visualize these worlds of, you know, creative play for a child. Who I don't really know. He would tell me about some of the things, but he would just let his mind go free without any kind of restraints and delight him. So we can apply this ability of our brains to creatively visualize or imagine as if we were doing something without actually needing to do it. In yoga, sometimes they use this. They'll say like, let's say you're standing on your mat and when you've got you're kind of facing the side of your mat with you're standing with your feet apart. And the yoga instructor will say, isometrically pull your front foot towards your back foot. And a lot of times people don't understand what that means. And the instructor will have to explain like, you're not actually moving your foot back, but you're kind of engaging your muscles as if you're about to do it. So it's a way to kind of engage, right? To sort of take the very first step toward implementing that which you're expecting to need to do. So sort of getting ready for something. And that's what I feel like creative visualization is for. It's getting ready. It's getting you practice in mentally to get your reps in, if you will, for the expectation of actually doing this thing in real life. So So it's a way to get practice in without actually needing to practice. And this is where athletes come in and use this skill to like great effect, especially Olympic athletes. They have learned that the body responds to what you think about as if it's actually happening. So isn't that strange? Your body is a machine that doesn't really know the difference between mentally doing something in your head as if you're actually doing it and actually doing it. And they've done a lot of experiments with this that prove that this is true, where one of them is like a famous like finger exercise experiment. They took some older adults and they showed them like finger exercises. Like, I don't know, like take your pointer finger, point it up and then go to the side and then point back up again, right? So it's like, you're kind of like pointing to the side horizontally and then pointing straight up to the ceiling. These dumb finger exercises. I don't know what they were exactly, but in the end, what they figured out was the group that just imagined themselves doing finger exercises got like some crazy percentage of the actual muscle physiological changes that the group that actually did the finger exercises got, like 60% or something. I mean, don't quote me on that. I don't know, but it was a lot. Like it might even be more than 60%. So you will build muscle just by thinking about doing exercises. That's how much your body is like, oh, we must be doing this. And it will cause physiological, it will trigger changes in your actual physical body. So super interesting, right? And so professional athletes have taken advantage of this mind-body connection to spend some of their downtime, their rest time, doing creative visualization of themselves competing in their sport or feeling really strong, coming in first, like doing the exercises to build up their endurance, what have you. A lot of it is built in science. And so I just invite you to apply this to your new habits that you're creating around food, where you are waiting until you feel physically hungry before you eat. And that you internalize like always stopping when you've had enough before you're physically full. And for many of us, these are just new habits that take a long time to establish as the dominant unconscious habit, right? Because we've been sort of unconsciously overeating or eating when we're not hungry, like maybe our whole lives. And so the work of changing your weight is so much about changing your habits of thinking and acting around food. So what you can do is, what I recommend that you do is when you make your food plan every day, and hopefully you're using a planner to plan your food. I have one that I've given you when you join my email list, but it doesn't matter what planner you use, as long as you make a plan for your food. When you check the fridge, you check the pantry, you have conversations with the people who you're around for your meals before you commit to a plan. Once you make the plan, just take a moment to like imagine yourself before you choose to eat, to kind of check in internally to see if you're hungry or not. And maybe you want to like play the scene in your head like a movie. There you are. You're the main character in the scene. Okay, it's breakfast. You're in your kitchen. You're kind of in the kitchen and you're watching yourself like check in to see if you're hungry. Maybe you're not. Maybe you just pour yourself a glass of water. If you're working on like, hey, sometimes I tend to eat breakfast when I'm not hungry. So I want to visualize myself going into the kitchen, thinking that you might eat, checking in with your stomach intentionally, and then choosing to leave the kitchen and feeling really good about that. You know, you can even narrate the scene if you want. you know, when I read a book on how to be an author, some of the best advice that I ever read, I think it was by Robert Butler. The book was called From Where You Dream. And his advice about how to write a book was scene by scene, as if you are explaining a scene in a movie. Here we are in Heather's kitchen. You know, it's 8:30 in the morning. She's just got done showering. The pool is running outside the kitchen window. The coffee machine is on. She brings in her empty coffee cup. She sets it on the counter and leans slightly against the counter as her eyes turn up toward the ceiling. We know that our main character, Heather, is asking herself, do I want that breakfast that I planned of eggs and toast? And she dips into her stomach and she knows, I could eat, but I'm not actually noticing any physical hunger. And then she just notes to herself, okay, when we get hungry, we'll find time to eat. She puts her coffee cup, she rinses her coffee cup in the sink, puts it in the dishwasher, and leaves the kitchen. And that's the end of the scene. So that's how you can creatively visualize. Like, I just, when I was like talking you through that, I literally was watching myself do that. So I practiced following my appetite cues in my brain, creatively using my imagination. And what that's doing is that's priming the pump for my brain to know what I want it to do, which is to check in with my stomach, ask myself, am I hungry before I decide to eat, even if I have a plan to eat, and to let saying no be just as okay as noticing I'm hungry and going ahead and eating. So this is a really powerful thing that you can do with any of the parts of weight loss as I teach it. So the other part of course, following your appetite cues is being like you can creatively visualize yourself just saying like, look, I'm not hungry for dinner, and just sitting with your family if you're not hungry for dinner. It's very normal sometimes to just not be hungry for meals. And if you truly trust your body, you won't be wanting to eat if you're not hungry, especially if you want to lose weight. But even sometimes at maintenance, we're just not hungry. We just skip a meal. So normal. You know, we didn't come, we haven't developed for millions of years to be on a three times a day eating schedule. Like, that's so random and contrived. If you watch Survivor, you know that show Survivor, even when they have food and they have, let's say, fruit trees around or coconuts or the rice that they're given sometimes, they're not eating three times a day. At most, they're eating two, sometimes just one. And I think most communities around the world, especially Native communities, they don't have a three time a day plus two snacks eating schedule. That's just conditioned from the diet industry. Okay. So you're going to want to visualize yourself doing different actions around food, any kind of different actions that you know that will bring you closer to allowing yourself to not eat if you're not hungry, and allowing yourself to stop eating when you are satisfied with what you have. That Hari Hachi Bu principle from Okinawa. The Okinawans, if you've missed it in a previous podcast, the Okinawans eat to 7/10 full, or is it 8/10? I think it's 7/10 full. So seven parts of their stomach is the most that they will fill it. They always leave 3/10 of their stomach empty. And they believe that that brings them like amazing longevity and amazing health all the way to old age. And there's science that backs that up. So if you want to practice yourself, like practicing yourself, practicing Harahachi Boo, or just like thinking to yourself, I never eat until I'm physically full anymore, then you're going to want to like visualize yourself sitting like where you normally sit, or even on vacation in exception times, especially when you're about to go on vacation. That's a great chance when you think about your vacation to think about yourself like honoring your body and the way that it wants to eat, the types of food that you feel like you want to eat. And in at the right times when your stomach is ready for it, and stopping when you've had enough. And just letting all of that visualization, finding a way to visualize it as being perfect. Even if you're just sitting there, like a lot of times my clients say, like, oh, well, I eat dinner because, they expect me to eat dinner, or I would feel strange if I wasn't eating dinner. And I'm like, but why? Why is that a problem to not have dinner if you're not hungry? And they're like, well, that's how I connect with my family. Usually that's the feedback that I get. And I just like turn it around and I'm like, what if not eating at the dinner with your family is a better opportunity for you to connect with them? Because you're not distracted by your own eating experience. It's like a once in a while opportunity for you to be fully engaged with what they are saying and just like lavish them with your full attention. That can be delightful for them. Tell me more about school, Tell me what happened today. How's your friend, What do you think about this or that going on in the world? So there's one last part to creative visualization that is related that I think is important. And it has to do with attention. Now remember that when you envision, like when you envision what you want to happen with your habits around food that will help you lose weight, that's a point of focus. It's a deliberate point of focus, one that's focused on what you want to happen. So that's very powerful. And there's another very, very famous experiment called the slit experiment. And actually, quantum theory is based on this. I'm not going to go into quantum theory, but suffice it to say that it's an experiment that, and I hope I get this right. Listen, I'm not a scientist, okay? And I just do the best I can with some of this sciencey stuff. So forgive me if parts of this are not exactly right. But they did this experiment called a slit experiment, where they shot, like they, there was this piece of metal with a slit in the middle of it, and they shot electrons through this slit such that the electrons went through the slit and then they splattered on the wall beyond the slit. And they replicated the experiment many, many, many times, and they could see that there was a pattern that the electrons would make as they splattered on the wall on the other side. And then they introduced one change to this experiment. And that was that somebody, a person, was able to look through a glass window just to observe the experiment happening. And as soon as someone's focused attention, their observation was introduced into this experiment, the pattern of the electrons that they made on when they splattered on the wall completely changed. And so what this means is that your focused attention on whatever object you are attending to, you are focusing on, changes the subatomic matter that is the point of your focus. Your focus and attention changes the subatomic world in which you are focused on. So this has implications in what we call quantum theory, which is that every action is sort of reverberates into the world endlessly. And that for any action that you could have, there's the same vibration that would go with it. And so this is what makes any outcome possible. We just want to find the right amount of attention and vibration at which we interact with our world to get to the place that we want to go. And so creative visualization is a great way to positively attune yourself to the life, the result that you are wanting for yourself, that you're desiring for yourself. And creative visualization is a great way for you to kind of like vibrate what you want, your practicing of your habits around food, not eating when you're not hungry, stopping at enough, drinking your water, getting your sleep in, all of these important things around weight loss. And, you know, loving your food lifestyle, picturing yourself losing weight, so that when you actually go into the world to do those things, in the present moment that you're doing it, it feels familiar. And when it feels practiced and it feels familiar because you've been doing your creative visualization, your effect on your world will be like immeasurably more impacted if you didn't do the creative visualization to practice. So it's a way of like quantum leaping your results. Try it. Even if you doubt, like you're like, oh God, Heather, this is a lot of woo shit that you're talking about. But listen, Michael Phelps won how many gold medals? He creatively visualizes. Arnold Schwarzenegger won, you know, Mr. Universe how many times? He's like the most decorated weightlifter in the world. He talks about it. There are skills that are easy to do that just require the discipline of practice that makes reaching those goals easier. And so if you've had a hard time reaching your goals, why wouldn't you spend some time that you normally would be on TikTok? Just put the phone down and visualize yourself like waking up, feeling like, wow, like I just love the way I ate yesterday. Like, I think, you know, I probably lost weight on my weigh-in day, and picture yourself getting on the scale, feeling really motivated and like proud of yourself. And then you will start to attune your own body, your own sense of feeling in the moment to that desired result. And this doesn't, this sort of like leads your brain in the direction that you want it to go. I always like to say a brain that doesn't know what the gameplay is, what the strategy is, will just sort of insert its own negativity in the absence of knowing what, like you programming what you want it to think about and focus on and work on. So that is creative visualization. It's okay if you suck at it. It's okay if you haven't been in your head, like, or you don't have time to do this. Just try it and see how it feels. I remember as a kid being just like, let me, like, before I would get out of bed, it would always be cold in Connecticut. It's always cold. And I never wanted to get out of bed. And I would just say, well, let me just imagine the best day that I can think about. And I don't know, I would think about summertime. I would think about the beach. I would think about being with my friends. I would think about sunshine. So it was always gray in Connecticut. And that made me happy. And so if that's where you just start with this is a way to kind of feel joyful and feel delighted with, you know, the capacity of your brain to project nice things into your mind's eye, just start there and see where it goes. You never know. All right. So if you want to continue the conversation, visit me on Instagram at Thrive in Midlife, episode 43 Real. And just tell me, like, do you have questions about creative visualization? What do you feel like you need to practice that you need more practice with? And how can you creatively visualize that? How can you create a habit of doing that? You don't have to do it right when you make your food plan. You can do it before you weigh in each week. You can do it before you go to bed each day as a way to kind of like set your brain on your focus before you drift off into your sleep each night. You know, play with it and see what you like. See what you like from the practice. Take what resonates and leave the rest. Okay. Thanks for joining me today. Stay focused and so long. Hey, if this episode was helpful, then let's connect. Visit hbeardsley.com/subscribe. That's hbeardsley.com/subscribe. You'll get a gift from me, exclusive subscriber content, and advanced notice of in-person events.